Hi, I'm Lorraine Reff.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, walking is the daily activity of choice for many of us. But if you're walking too leisurely, you're missing out on most of the health benefits. A New York Times health reporter explains why brisk walking is better.
But first, they raised you, cared for you, and tried to do what was best for you. In the power dynamic between parent and child, they're the ones who are in charge. But as your parent ages, the tables can be abruptly turned by a chronic illness or a terminal diagnosis. How can you guide your aging parent through the medical system while respecting their autonomy and their decisions?
Dr. Lena Wen found herself in this situation when her own mother was diagnosed with a terminal illness. Dr. Wen is an attending emergency physician and director of patient-centered care research at George Washington University and the author of When Doctors Don't Listen, How to Avoid Misdiagnoses and Unnecessary Tests. She joins us to provide insight on how to guide a parent through the medical system and broach the challenging topic of end-of-life planning.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Wen.
Thank you for having me, Lorraine and Linda.
Parents are used to a specific relationship with their children. You know, they've always known best, they give you good advice, and they're the ones in control. But as children become adults and parents age, that parent-child dynamic shifts. You have experienced this yourself. You mentioned in your book this happened when your mother was diagnosed with cancer, and you have been very open in discussing it publicly. What were the circumstances, and how did you deal with it?
When I was a medical student, my mother was misdiagnosed for over a year until she was finally diagnosed with breast cancer that at that point had become metastatic. Now, I was not prepared to become her caregiver, and nor was she prepared to be a patient, right? That's not something that any of us ever really think about until we are put in that situation ourselves. And I have to say, it was uncomfortable from both of our standpoints. I was a medical student and in healthcare and used to asking questions to other patients about their health. But still, I didn't feel comfortable asking my mother about her pain, her bowel habits, her mental health. There were all these things that I was not prepared to address and yet were very important as her caregiver.
Hearing you say that is a little bit disturbing, I have to be honest. I was also the primary caregiver when my mother was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer, and I found those same exact things to be in place. I wanted to help her, but I also know that she was very reluctant to give up control. She didn't want me to take over decision-making. I think I did the best that I possibly could, but you've seen it from both sides of the white coat. What do you think an adult child can do to make this moment easier when the dynamic changes and a child becomes the person who's really involved and possibly helping in the decision-making?
It is very difficult, as you said, to navigate that relationship because on the one hand, you want to do your best as the caregiver and take control. But on the other hand, your parent is an adult. They're someone who's used to caring for you, much less having that role reversal and giving up their autonomy in your favor. And I think that there's something else to address too, that there's this overlying guilt aspect as well. Not so much for acute illnesses. I actually think that when your parent has an acute illness that can be taken care of, so they have pneumonia, then they get antibiotics and they get better, even if they are very ill for a part of it, it's easier than when they have a chronic illness that you have to deal with over time, because then it really is the role reversal that stays with you. And you have the guilt about how much to be there and how to balance caring for your elderly parent, maybe with a lot of other issues too, like caring for your children or your work or other things. So I'd say that there are a couple of things that are very important. The first is to have other people in this discussion as well. And by other people, I mean definitely people in healthcare. So involving someone that you trust, a primary care doctor, a nurse, knowing someone else who can also help you in these discussions and help to be the mediator of sorts if there are any difficulties is important. Also having other people, such as family members or friends, who are also involved. So perhaps your sibling who is involved, or perhaps another parent who can be involved in that mediator role is important too. And then very importantly, too, is to discuss with them their wishes. So the wishes of your ill parent. Have a discussion with them in advance so that it's not at the moment that they're extremely ill that you begin to talk about issues like end-of-life care or like how they want to live their life. Not so much how they want to die, but also how they want to live their life.
You hit on a very specific point that I think is important. Is this a conversation that should be started when we're all in a state of wellness? It seems that it's a catch-22 because you want to bring it up when everybody is in good health, and yet you always encounter a parent saying, I don't want to talk about that. I'm fine now. Don't worry about that. But so is that practical to bring it up when your parent is well and you want to start the conversation?
This is absolutely something that we should bring up when we are all well and of sound mind. I see this so much. For example, I see elderly people come in to the ER with life-threatening emergencies, but they are usually chronically ill with something else. Maybe they already have terminal cancer. Maybe they have dementia. Maybe they are already in a nursing home with many other medical issues. And yet, we do so much to resuscitate them in a way that many times their families are not even comfortable with. However, because they never had the discussion with their loved one in the first place, we end up doing all these extraordinary measures that perhaps are not even the most humane thing to do. There are so many discussions that would be best to have when everyone is of sound mind. And I would encourage everyone, no matter your age, to have a discussion with your parents and with your other family members, too, about what would you want to do? And the answer may be, I don't know. The answer may be things will change over time if I have a chronic illness or not. But begin having the discussion early and also involve other members of your family, too. As a physician, especially as an ER physician, I have seen many situations where siblings disagree about what to do with their parents. One person believes that they understand their parents' wishes and the other person says that's not right and then guilt kicks in. So make sure that everyone is on the same page so that you can go into these situations and provide the best care and most humane care possible for your loved one.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And we're talking right now about guiding parents through the medical system, especially with a chronic or terminal illness. And our guest is Dr. Lena Wen. She's an attending emergency physician and director of patient-centered care research at George Washington University. And we are talking about talking to our parents when they are still well about possible decisions that are going to have to be made, end-of-life decisions and medical decisions. Let's just talk about some of the practical advice. One of the questions I have in terms of a lot of times you're going with your parent to their doctor's appointments, for instance, and there are privacy laws in place now that I think most people are familiar with, HIPAA laws. It limits what a doctor can share unless the patient has given permission to release their medical information. How do you make sure your parent agrees to sign the document? And from your point of view as a physician, have you ever seen this as a problem where the parent is saying, I really don't need your help, you're overdoing it, no, I'm not going to agree to let my doctor talk to you or give you the test results, for instance?
So HIPAA, which is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountable Act, is probably the most misunderstood law that I see in medical practice. So many people think that it means that medical information cannot be shared with other people, but it's only if the patient disagrees. So if the patient says, sure, you can talk about it, which is what I see in 99.999% of the cases, you as the family member can absolutely discuss with the doctor. This is something that you should talk to your loved one in advance and say, I'd like to be able to come with you to your doctor's appointment, especially since you're not feeling well already. I want to make sure that they understand how things are. One thing that I've seen that's helpful, too, is you can say to your loved one and to the doctor, too, look, you as the doctor, you're only seeing this patient in 1% of their time, but I see them for the 99% of the time. I see them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So please let me share what I know about what's going on. And you should be able to get around it that way. HIPAA also does not prevent you from telling the doctor what's going on. So even if your family member says, I don't want the doctor to share these results with you, you can still share with the doctor what is going on from your perspective.
When there's a diagnosis of a chronic or terminal illness, there's a point at which an aging parent cannot go it alone. Now, does a doctor usually inquire as to a patient's support system, and what's the obligation on that end to urge a parent to share information with a child?
Doctors do urge their patients who have chronic illnesses, especially ones who seem to have difficulty caring for themselves at home, to have additional support. And that's why I think it's so important, though, to accompany your loved one to the doctor from the beginning and get them used to the idea that you're there with them to help them, not to take away their autonomy, but to assist them with that. And some things that may be helpful as well is to rehearse with them together about what to do. Not say, this is what I'm going to say to the doctor, but let's discuss together about how are we going to approach the doctor's visit. Let's prepare our medications and the list of medical issues and other things together so that you're involving them as a partner in their care and not saying, I'm the child and now I'm going to take over your medical care.
That sounds like an ideal situation where you can come to an agreement, but I know that's not always the case. For instance, you can be in an appointment with someone who you know has really suffered with pain, but they kind of play it down to the doctor, or you may feel that they're not really giving an accurate history, and your tendency is to want to say, you know, Mom, but you're not telling Dr. So-and-so about A, B, or C. So you don't want to overstep. You want to be supportive. You don't want the parent to feel that their power is being usurped. I'm wondering, what do you do in a situation like that? And do you think it's appropriate for the child to actually call the doctor after the visit privately and express concerns, or is that just overstepping?
It is not overstepping, and I would say it's actually critical that you express the truth from your perspective of what's going on. If your parent is okay with it, stepping in is something that you should do. Many times, if your parent is already not feeling well, they're undergoing chemotherapy, they're ill from any number of things, they're not in the best state of mind to be able to share their symptoms. Also, people of a certain generation, as I found, I mean, this is definitely a generalization, but people of a certain generation or who are immigrants like my mother was, they also tend to think of the doctor as the God figure, that if the doctor says, do this test, they say, sure. Or the doctor says, take this medication, they say, sure. They don't feel as comfortable questioning their doctor. And that's where your role is really important. But if your parent is a person who may disagree with you and doesn't want you to speak up, but you feel like they are significantly underplaying their role, or in the case of my mother, for example, she would disagree with her doctor's recommendation, but then not take the medications that her doctors would prescribe. Rather than just telling her doctor, I don't want to take it, she just wouldn't take it. And then the doctor would say, well, how did it work for you? And she would say, oh, it's fine, it's fine. Right? She underplayed it, but also wasn't compliant with the medications. And that was very important for her doctor to know, because otherwise he might order more medications or stronger medications, when in fact the issue was she wasn't taking the medication to begin with. So it's absolutely okay and even very important for you to tell the doctor separately. So you could pull the doctor aside during the visit, you could call them or email them afterwards, but it is very important that you express what is actually going on, because that could be life-saving for your loved one.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your experience, and your own personal story.
Thank you for having me to discuss this very important topic.
Dr. Lena Wen is an attending emergency physician and director of patient-centered care research at George Washington University and the author of When Doctors Don't Listen, How to Avoid Misdiagnoses and Unnecessary Tests. For more information on guiding aging parents through the medical system and Dr. Lena Wen, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org. If you've missed a past interview or you'd like to hear one again, podcasts of our show are also available at our website and on iTunes.
Coming up, why kicking your daily walk up a notch can be good for you. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.